This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, BFM 89.9. We're now 7 minutes past seven. I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Julian Ng and Sharit Abdullah. Welcome, gentlemen. Now it's the markets hour, and overnight, the Dow, S&P 500 and NASDAQ all were down under 1% as the Beige Book cited slower growth expectations. The Dow is down about half percentage point. The NASDAQ fell nearly 1%, and the S&P fell by 0.7%.
Yeah, in Asia, the market seemed to have mimicked how muted U.S. market were yesterday. Nikkei was down by 0.6%. Shanghai Composite, 1.57%. Hang Seng up by 0.26%. Kospi down by 0.2%. Singapore down by 0.4%. And KLCI closed about 0.1% up.
The market in Shanghai is really powering ahead.
1.6%,
you get a down day for most of the region, most of the world, and China is just powering ahead with, you know, every day you're just seeing 1.5 to 2% rises. And from a few days ago, I think the Shanghai market has just, from the start of this year, actually, the Shanghai market has surged from a low of just slightly under 2,500 to 3,100 today. So that's a 25% rise since the beginning of the year. This is a market that represents the second largest economy in the world. I mean, if this happened in the US, it's just boom town.
The
right?
Champagne would be being unbottled. 24.4% is the year-to-date actual advance. But last year, they had a terrible year. So they could
actually
be recovering lost ground.
They've had a terrible 5 to 10 years in the markets.
Okay, well, the U.S. trade deficit also in the picture. It rose to a 10-year high in 2018. Imports jumped in December. Total deficit for the full year was $621 billion U.S. dollars, the highest since the Americans posted a deficit in 2008 of $709 billion during the middle of its recession.
So for Bank of Canada, they held rate at 1.75%. Policymakers expressed more caution about the pace of future rate increases. Bank of Canada's statement yesterday was a shift of more cautious tone compared with the recent Bank of Canada remarks, which highlighted some, you know, need for key rates to move into a neutral range.
Yeah, I think the world is on a pause right now, led by the United States, which is also seeing a Fed that has turned more dovish, and hence the pause in Canada. But $100 billion man, that's what Donald Trump is right now, because under his watch, the deficit has grown by that amount. And his initial campaign was to just reduce deficits of the United States, right? Which actually a lot of economists think is not a good metric to judge the economy. When your economy is strong, you actually buy more things, and that causes the deficit.
Yeah, also increases the debt in the situation. And this is not great if you're a household spender. Corporate spender is not such an injurious thing. The tax man has arrived in France. Now, they've instituted a tax aimed at the big tech giants, a 3% tax on French-sourced revenue that takes aim squarely at Google and Amazon, who earn from specific services in the country like targeted advertising or running a digital marketplace. And speaking of tech, Mark Zuckerberg says Facebook is focusing on its privacy-focused vision. And I don't know whether to believe him or not,
right,
to be honest, right?
And, you know, with regards to France and the move to sort of regulate and start taxing all these tech companies, I think, yeah, this is an ongoing question, as you know, for every single country, is whether or not they should get some portion of the revenue that they're getting. So the question is whether or not, yeah, should they be taxed where they operate in, is where the company is being located, or where the consumer is, right? So, Zuckerberg, it's an ongoing thing with privacy.
That's right. I think that a lot of times revenues and profits coming from the tech giants have no home, have no domicile, and a lot of the tax authorities around the world are like scratching their heads on how to tax these guys. So what France is doing is a start. But as far as closer to back home is concerned, Australia economy grew by 2.3% over the year and 0.2% in the fourth quarter. I think this is echoing the kind of very firm GDP growth that we are seeing around the world, including the United States. Even though China is going through a kind of structural slowdown, it's still 6% thereabout, and by any standards, that's still a strong GDP growth as well.
Great. Also triggering the policy conundrum for central banks around the world, whether to raise, to stay pat, or to drop. So amid all the uncertainties in the economy and the market, so there's this whole question about where we should place our money. We've got Michael Lai, he's the Vice President of Wealth Management Research at OCBC Bank. So some reports, Michael, welcome to the show. Some reports have indicated that high net worth individuals are moving their allocations into cash, and that's a safe haven. What do you think about that? Is that true? And what are you advising your clients to do?
Hey, morning, guys. Yeah, I think, of course, you know, the amount of cash you any investors hold is dependent on the risk profile. But everything else being equal, we do think that deploying more cash into risk assets is actually our view. Simply because, you know, I think the market has come out of December last year. A lot of the markets were discounting a recession. But with the pause in central banks led by the U.S., there has been a bit of a relief rally in the market. And our view is that 2019 is probably a year of moderating growth. We don't see a recession in 2019. And with the pause in central bank interest rates, we do feel that there are some grounds to take a little bit risk and deploy your cash into financial assets.
Now, in your opinion, where are the sectoral, segments that might be good recipients of some of our hard-earned cash in terms of returns for this coming quarter and quarters ahead?
I think, obviously, since the start of the year, the market has done quite well. And investors are probably, you know, looking to take money off the table. But for us, I think we rather, instead of taking money off the table, we think the investors should really rebalance into some of the sectors that we do like. The reason why we say that is because, I think you guys talked about it earlier on. The Fed is on a pause. The ECB is talking about putting in new easing measures for the banks in Europe and taking the lead from U.S. Fed and ECB. A lot of central banks in the region are also on hold. Given that there has been some positive development in the trade talks, and then lastly, also the China reflation story. So these particular five reasons why we think that investors really should stay engaged in the market, perhaps to rebalance into sectors. I think we do like the financials. I know that's counterintuitive because generally, you know, if the interest rates are on pause, the banks really don't really have that much of a catalyst. But if you recall, some of the financial and the banks were quite sold down quite violently in December because of the expectation that interest rates were not going to go up. And so, if you look at global financials, they are trading at, you know, a 10-year average of 1.1 times price to book. There is some value in that. We do think that the banks really have some value, even though the catalyst of rising interest rates is not there. But by and large, I think that's quite fully discounted in the prices already. So I think we balance into financials for one, maybe for the other, maybe some of the consumer staples and consumer discretionary, because we all know that unemployment rate in the U.S. Is already at all-time low.
Michael, we see that China has gone through an amazing surge at the start of this year. And at the same time, a lot of our guests are also saying that there is that positive interest rate differential with the United States, which have gone through a series of rate rises over the course of the last year or so. Do you think that from a viewpoint of the funds flow, they would still support stock markets around Asia, or they would go back home to the United States?
I think we've probably saw fund flows going to the U.S. For the most part of 2018. And I think because of the pause in the U.S. now, I think the pressure on the emerging market currencies has actually come off quite a lot. There is probably some flows back to emerging markets into Asia. So I think the reversal of flows is there, but maybe not in a very big way, but at least expectation that U.S. rates will continue to go up is no longer there, and therefore there is some relief on emerging market currencies.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. That was Michael Lai, the Vice President of Wealth Management Research at OCBC Bank, for his views. Now, what do you guys think? Counterintuitive, his decision on or his call on financial services?
Well, I think that's going to be the position that a lot of people are going to be taking, especially the institutional fund managers as well as the very high net worth individuals. I do believe that there's still a fair amount of liquidity that's left in the global system, and a lot of this money would have to find their home. It's the same thing as we see in the past few years. And given the market falls, I mean, China, you look at China, still at the bottom in spite of the spectacular surge this year, right? So there's still a lot of room for the money, especially the big money, to make such gambles, I would say, Chuang.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to be taking a quick break, but coming back with the market movers. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.